I don't know. It probably should get started soon, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Colin and Trevin is still going.
Calling him Trevin, though. Okay.
Trevor Rowe.
Trevor Rowe? Yeah.
Trevor Rowe.
Trevor Rowe. Do we get a phonetic spelling of this, please?
Yeah.
Will they ever get a plastic one?
No. I don't think you
are. That's just the actual spelling.
Yeah,
yeah,
this is
bro.
The same
bro.
That
Shut up, bro. Well, other than Star Wars news,
what do you want to talk about? I guess we could talk to Bender Spoilers. That's going to be down for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Has everybody seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to mention where you roll the
I thought you were pointing at the Munchkin stand for a second there.
Oh, we might on Larry's behalf talk about the kick-ass new comic they got their hands on here in the shop.
Oh, that Flash over there?
Yeah.
That Flash is kick-ass.
That's the iconic cover, right?
Exactly.
It's an iconic cover. It's one of the most important issues ever made. And it's quite rare, so it's kind of a
And that is that's a pretty decent in shape copy. It's a 7.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
That's about as good as you can reasonably hope to find. You
know. Realistically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 123.
To have fun things. But the next thing to do is going to charge these guys, and then
yeah, we can talk good on behalf of the shop here.
Try to sell stuff for the shop.
Oh, might as well. We're sort of guests in their halls for now.
I guess. Damn, shit. Oh. You doing anything for going to the convention?
Yeah, we can mention that. Well,
and then, like,
I haven't got.
Oh, by the way, that's all super heavy fun.
Confirmations about things. I don't even know about.
You see Stan Lee, I think he's supposed to be there.
He is supposed to be there, yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be any press junkets with Stan Lee. I can't get any confirmations on that.
Oh. You probably wouldn't be able to get one with him anyway.
Well, I'm not talking one-on-one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Which is all the press.
All in one
room with Stan Lee.
Right.
Here we go.
This is kind of, honestly, probably our last chance to see him. Realistically,
yeah.
You know?
He's like 94?
He's up there. Dude's up there.
I believe you're right. He is 94. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Can you imagine a day without Stan Lee?
It's gonna come sooner or later, but I am gonna cry true tears when I hear about that Stan Lee has died.
And then you're gonna cry again the next time a Marvel movie comes out, and he's not there.
His conspicuous absence is gonna hit me hard.
Oh, no, don't do that Tarkin crap. That'd be awful.
No, I just want to be the same. That would arguably make things worse, seeing CGI.
Yeah, because then it's just a cheap imitation. It's don't replace my real thing with a cheap imitation.
I mean,
yeah, give me sugar instead of high fructose syrup.
He could do that if vehicles aren't.
But we gotta help those corn subsidies.
Stan Lee is a unique presence, and if he wasn't Stan Lee, then, you know, those cameos wouldn't really be adding much of anything.
That is true.
I'm 5 away, I rolled a 5, got within a win.
Well, enough morbid talk. Let's talk about other things, I guess.
Okay. What other things you want to talk about?
Are we recording?
We've been recording for like 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Star Wars news.
Okay.
That's the big nerd item of the week, I think. The first major one is that Colin Trevorrow.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We'll go with that pronunciation.
We'll go with that.
the director of Jurassic World, I think.
Yeah, it's our best. Okay, so yeah, that's his only movie that I see. Anyway, the point is he has left Episode 9.
Due to creative differences, is what he said.
Yeah.
I guess.
The only movie of his that I've seen is Jurassic World, and
it's the only one I know of. I haven't looked at his. It's fine.
It's fine.
I mean, it's a fine movie, but it's honestly, seeing Jurassic World, it kind of seems like he would be a perfect fit for Star Wars because Jurassic World is just steeped in nostalgia for Jurassic Park, so I don't see why he wouldn't be a good fit for Star Wars, which the last one was just nothing but nostalgia for A New Hope.
Force Awakens was, I think, honestly the best Star Wars movie.
He's also done Safety Not Guaranteed.
That is an opinion that you are allowed to have.
Okay.
I disagree with it, but I will. You are valid.
If you're gonna say that it's a constant throwback to New Hope, it's a very much improved version of New Hope. The acting is better. The special effects are better.
I'm not saying it's not. Better. I'm saying it's not.
Okay, I guess you can make the argument that Empire is probably
Empire for me is still number one.
And I'm not gonna disagree with that per se, as much as say that. Yeah. We can expect higher levels of stuff from Star Wars other than just constant nostalgia. We don't have to have it all be winks to the audience, which I feel like Force Awakens was more than just a constant series of winks to the audience.
It did have a lot of winks, though.
It did have a lot of winks to the audience, but of course it fucking did in Star Wars. Star Wars knows that it's there in part to appease the fans, because it has such a rabid fan base, and I'm not going to begrudge them that. But in any rate, back to the issue with Episode 9's director shuffle. I remember a few months ago, the movie of Collins came out, the Book of
Henry.
Yeah, Book of Henry, and it got shat all over by critics, and people were really up in arms about him being the guy that was handling Star Wars.
I don't even remember this movie.
Well, I never saw it. But
I never saw it. I remember it advertised. I'm looking at his IMDb. It's apparently Safety Net Guaranteed, which is a fun movie. It's essentially where a man puts a personal ad in the newspaper asking for somebody to help him go back in time. And it's like, you know, have to have weapons training, safety, you know.
Right.
I've done this before, your safety is not guaranteed. It was an interesting movie. I mean, it came out in 2012. It's been at least 4 years since I've seen it.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a fun movie.
Do you feel as though he is a talent that is some sort of irreplaceable loss?
No.
No.
Okay, that's the bottom line.
No, it's well... Rain Johnson, the director of Episode 8. Wasn't he like the director behind Godzilla?
No, that was Garth. That's Gareth Edwards.
Rain
Rogue
Johnson,
One.
Or Ryan or Rain, however you say his name. Let's
go
with Ryan.
R-I-A-N, which...
Let's just go with Ryan.
Ryan.
He did direct Looper.
Looper is a fantastic movie.
It was really good. It shows a lot of attention to detail, a lot of technical yeomanship in the craft.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I still can't believe that Joseph Gordon-Levitt becomes Bruce Willis.
Oh, he does a fantastic Bruce Willis impression that entire movie.
Yeah. I have to suspend disbelief.
That is one of those good movies that
Bruce Willis was hair.
It strains a little bit underneath all the questions that arise from fucking time travel bullshit, but it's impossible to have time travel in your movie without a little bit of time travel bullshit.
Yeah.
Even movies that are very good at it, and Looper does as good a job as any I can remember, strains a little bit under the logical paradox issues. But in any event, I am very much looking forward to Last Jedi. Speaking of which, Rian Johnson recently revealed in an interview that the eponymous Last Jedi is indeed Luke Skywalker.
I think we all pretty much assume that.
I mean, that's sort of the obvious answer, but a lot of people were speculating, oh, well, maybe it's Rey because Luke dies.
Or maybe Jedi's plural, so it could mean Rey and Luke. But no, it's Luke.
Yeah.
Which means Rey's going to have to be something new, which makes sense. I mean,
sounds pretty cool.
As far as the dark side is concerned, Kylo Ren's technically not a Sith. I don't think Snoke is a Sith, so it makes sense for Rey to be something, not a Jedi.
Which, in Force Awakens, It did. Hong so it did say that Luke went in search of the first temple with the Jedi.
Right.
So, and obviously from what trailer we have seen, he did find something.
That's something that always throws me off. It's like 12, 13.
So
he found his own private island in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And honestly, that's pretty cool on its own.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's really his own private planet in the middle of nowhere. That prominently features an island. Well, look who bothered to show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do like your shirt, though. I actually was going to wear a shirt that I have a high roller and had a D20. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to wait.
Well, you are in time to do the introduction because we haven't done that yet.
You've only been going for 10.
They play better on their team. It's like the Orange players who say it goes faster.
No. Nah. Since you've done the introduction at the final boss.
Yeah. Oh, of course not. I'm your host. Today with me is
Adam.
Taylor.
And David.
David didn't do a funny voice.
I'm proud of you, David. Good job.
Oh, that's right. He's being the consummate professional he always is in eating on the podcast.
You know what? I'll take it.
172?
173, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done a lot of these now.
You want to change seats, Larry, so you can
make sure Adam hasn't ruined everything.
I ruin everything.
Oh, that's actually the name of the TV show.
It is.
Ruins everything.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a good show.
That's
all I've heard. I don't have TV.
Yeah,
I'm too lazy to look it up.
They pretty much release all of it on Facebook, though. That's how I see it almost exclusively, is the College Humor, whoever sharing it via Facebook.
So I think there's always like a clip or two, like the show releases.
It's kind of like a John Oliver's show. They kind of
the main
they release a bit of it. Yeah.
Well, they released the main part of John Oliver, and as far as I can tell, they do release the lion's share of Adam Ruins Everything.
Well, I watched one episode just to see, and yeah, they released half of it.
Ah, okay.
They broke it up into four segments. Two of them I saw.
I know he did the. I know there was a full episode. I think I saw it on Facebook of the McDonald's hot coffee cake.
So usually there's I'm assuming at least the one episode I actually saw. The whole episode, it was, they were all similar things. So then, the two most different things. So he probably did other stuff that was kind of chained together. But he also apparently does a podcast.
Yeah.
Everybody does a podcast. Well, we do a podcast.
There's a lot of podcasts.
Well, before he was doing this, he was on College Humor.
Right.
There was something I saw just the other day where he was on it. Can't remember what it was.
College Humor probably produces the show.
I believe that's the case, yeah.
Now it airs on True TV or whatever, but
they did one recently where they had a corrections episode.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And they embraced that they made mistakes. They did not try to make excuses or sidestep the issue, and that's a cool thing to see, I think. Most of them were little technical things, like he misstated how tall the Empire State Building was, and stuff like that. But
yeah, and they did release the corrections, free, on YouTube or whatever.
Yep.
Wanting to point out that, hey, this is our sources, this is corrections, this is keep their integrity intact, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then I was going to do the last one where
it's good old integrity.
It is kind of an unfortunate trend where, like, if you make a mistake one time, it does kind of, like, a lot of people do use it as an excuse just to discount everything that you say. But, everybody makes mistakes. And
we're all human here.
Yeah. And that's one of the points they made on the correct.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it. Yeah. We're all human.
I mean, unlike us, who, none of us ever state anything incorrectly on this show. Obviously.
Beep.
Hmm?
Beep.
So, you're thinking of an individual about the fluid. Aren't you like a hot resin?
What?
Futurama?
Yeah.
When they go to the
robot. What? It turned out the hot resin, which. Oh, store related news.
Oh. It'll make great. Oh, you're going to get that flash over there?
We were planning on talking about it. That's damn cool.
If you want to go get it,
I mean, I wouldn't mind, you know, being close to it. It's. That's a cool.
Yeah. What did we say? It was 123?
Flash 123? Volume 1?
Yeah. Well, it's the issue.
I think it's Volume 2, because Volume 1 is. Volume 1 is Golden Age.
That's true, yeah. Flash original. Most of the Golden Age heroes did not appear first in comics bearing their names, except for Batman being a notable example.
So, okay. Yeah, Justice League number 1.
No, okay, you have Justice League of America number 1, and that is cool, but I wish it had a better cover.
It really is a bad cover.
That is a forgettable cover for such an important issue.
Yeah, I mean, like, Green Lantern's just losing its color.
Yeah, I mean, although I do kind of miss the trend where you would have, like, off the wall dialogue being used on the cover to grab your attention.
It's like the teaser line.
Well, that's like what they do with certain Image books now, like Generation Gone, and they are. The other one they got, I can't think of the name of it. Generation Gone, the most recent one that did it. They are not like us. Does that too?
It's also nice that these are already graded for you.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, the real prize here is that issue of Flash, because that is
right. Well, Justice League of America number 1 is a big book and a launch of a series. This is a very.
That's an important.
I think it's referred to as a super key book.
Yes. Well, it's one of the most iconic covers of all time. We've got Barry Allen and Jay Garrick racing to save the man on the brick wall there. And, okay, so not only is that an iconic cover, not only is it rare to find, as we were talking about earlier, this is one of the most important comics that's ever come out, because this introduces the idea of a multiverse.
Right.
Which is kind of comics bread and butter nowadays.
It's DC shtick.
The first Earth 2, so it was the first time they really acknowledge the Silver Age and the Golden Age characters are supposed to be different characters.
So,
big deal.
The question is, how much big boy money is that going to cost?
A lot of money.
How much big boy
money? Multiple grand.
Okay.
It's a lot of big boy money. It's more big boy money than I have.
It dethrones the previous high bidder in the shop here of the first appearance of Doctor Doom. But, yeah, it definitely deserves the new honor, because that is a very, very, very cool thing to have.
Basically, this is a $2,000 book.
Wow.
That's just a nice book.
This is one of the things where I'm almost nervous to pick it up, because I know that if somehow, in an unlikely way, I crack open that case, I have done something.
Purchased a $2,000 book.
I had to pay $2,000 for what is no longer a $2,000 book.
Well, not necessarily. Just if you crack the case, it does.
If it was graded by, it's graded by CBCS. If it was graded by CGS, it'd be a $3,000 book.
Ah.
Because their grades deem a premium, them being a longer established grade service. But, if the case gets cracked or damaged, having it regraded is a fairly easy process, provided that the grading facility is not evacuated or destroyed by Irma.
Yeah, that might put a damper on some things.
That is something to keep in mind today.
Apparently, the Florida Peninsula is the comic grading capital of the world.
I never realized that.
Well, I mean, not that there are that many different grading, but for the most part, they're all in Florida. There's like three of them.
I wonder how that came back here. I suppose that might
be. Well, they all probably worked for CGC at some point.
Four Revolutionary War soldiers.
It's on the back of this one, too.
98. That'd look incredible.
He gives plus back in the 60s, Revolutionary War figures were a hot item.
And that was
all the kids were playing with the Revolutionary War figurines.
kids have been playing toy soldiers for a very long time.
All right, everybody line up.
Specifically Revolutionary War, though? I don't know.
One shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll my dice.
If you were good, you could get out three shots in a minute.
Well, okay, so you got 204 Revolutionary War soldiers, and if you look at the content of what you get, there's also 24 Mohawk Indians.
Yep.
36 Dragoons. Oh, man.
20 or 12 Hessian
Dragoons? What?
Dragoons. That's the cavalry for the British.
Okay, see, I was thinking we were adding some fantasy elements to the Revolutionary War.
Fantasy elements stole that from the Revolutionary War.
Well, to be fair, Dragoons does sound more like it should be a dragon rider than a horse rider.
Yeah, I have to look up a word. Piper. Piper seafood. I don't want that.
You want seafood?
Aside from this cool new comic and the Star Wars movie shakeups,
12 Hessian troops.
12 Hessian troops?
What did I miss about the Star Wars shakeup?
Oh, just that they have sacked or he has walked away from the project or whatever.
The director of episode
Collins Trevor Rowe has walked away from episode 9.
A Piper is the guy who plays the flute in the battlefield.
That's my favorite guy.
I understand why you'd need a dozen of those.
Well, instruments did play a role on the battlefield. It was a way for communicating orders over the din of battle back when they had walkie-talkies. Troops were trained to respond to specific drum beats with certain formations.
Yes, it was also a way to make use of patriotic 12-year-olds.
Well, they don't have to be patriotic. They just have to be 12-year-olds.
Nothing better to do.
People that they thought were too young to give a gun.
Yeah. That.
But, well, like, I just went to the Greeks. Had the plumes on their helmet.
Yes.
Would be a different color, so, and shaped the way they are, so you could see, like, you know, if they turn. Go that way as the Centaurians. The Roman Centaurians had very similar like that.
I guess back in the days when sniping wasn't practical, I guess it would be more okay to advertise the position of the commanding officer.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, that is one of our great inventions. Snipers.
Admiral Horatio Nelson of British fame, he was actually killed by a sniper. I think he's one of the first high-profile commanders to be killed by such a person. He refused to take off his medals in the middle of a battle, and a sharpshooter managed to get him on the bridge of the ship.
The guy probably just like, who will ask you?
He's shiny.
Yeah, he's the shiniest one.
There's a glint on him.
Well, I mean, yeah, that would make him easier to see.
Yeah,
it did. Protect the other two. He might have been able to kind of duck into the crowd otherwise, because he was actually, I think, like 4'10 or something. Or, like, not much taller than 5 feet.
Santa Ana attempted to duck into the crowd when he was captured by the Texas Army. But, unfortunately, he didn't take off his underwear. Back then, he had silk underwear back then. It meant that he was a rich man, not like the poor people in the rest of his army. And,
that is some thorough searching that they were doing.
That is actually how they found him.
Yeah.
When he was out of uniform, they obviously, and a bunch of other soldiers, the other soldiers didn't strip down, but he ditched his uniform and was in fancy underwear.
I heard tale once that Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy, tried to duck out of a bad situation by wearing a dress and trying to pass as a woman.
No, not personally. He's been dead for a couple.
He has been dead for over 100 years.
Well, you know, it was the olden days. Maybe technologies weren't what they used to be.
That woman has a full beard.
I don't know, I might have been brandishing a fan or some such thing. I don't know.
Brandishing a fan. Twirling an umbrella.
It didn't work, because they found it out.
I do declare, it is northern soldiers.
Which of you strapping young bucks shall break my fall?
Yeah, what would be worse than you busted trying to sneak out of a fight? Or stink out of a fight in a dress.
I'm honestly not sure how do I react to seeing Jefferson Davis walk by in a dress. And I guess I'd have to capture him, but it just kind of made the situation really weird here, too.
Talk about awkward.
Yeah. Ah, man. But in any case. So, have you finished watching Defenders, or do you care if we talk spoilers about it?
I do not care if you talk spoilers.
Okay. Because it's been a few weeks, so we were going to talk spoilers.
Yeah, I'm sure I've watched all I will watch of it this year.
Oh, were you not a fan?
I never even watched all of Daredevil.
What? Okay, well, Daredevil was the best one. So it's, if you didn't watch all of Daredevil, I guess I can't
just
make you watch all of Defenders.
I just don't have Netflix. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Just giving you a hard time. But no, Defenders was pretty good.
It was solid.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, great, but, you know, solid.
Better than the second half of Luke Cage. I'll give it that.
The part
better than Iron
Mouth.
Fist.
Yeah. It was better than Iron Fist. It was
no, Cottonmouth was the good part. It was Diamondback.
Yeah, I'm saying after Cottonmouth. Luke Cage did have a pretty steep drop off. Cottonmouth was the best.
I do like how the last couple of Netflix shows have used the template of killing off one villain halfway through to introduce a new villain. It happened in Luke Cage, happened in the Defenders. Didn't it happen in Iron Fist at one point?
Iron Fist, dude.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Well, he came back,
but they still killed him.
See, I don't even care. I don't know what you're talking about. Right,
well, it didn't happen.
That's how bad Iron Fist was.
Like,
some
of
the villains that made it.
Yeah, that was Sigourney Weaver.
Well, that's a spoiler for Defenders. Elektra knocks off Sigourney Weaver.
which Sigourney Weaver was, I think she was wasted on this show.
She didn't have much to do.
No.
I liked how.
I don't think she did a bad job. She just had no material to work with.
Part of it, she might have benefited from more to establish her as a genuine threat. It was more reputation than anything else.
Yeah, she needed to be more of a genuine threat, and we needed to understand her more. Because honestly, the only thing she had character-wise was she didn't want to die.
She didn't want to die, and I did like how they kind of show her, like, going to private concerts and enjoying, like, delicacies and foods and things like
but
that.
But she's
like,
still,
you know, she's a woman who really loves the finer things in life, and she's terrified of losing all that.
But she was still sort of a cipher. She wasn't like a Kingpin or the Purple Man, where you don't necessarily agree with them, but you understand them.
She does
you know
not
why they do what they do.
Character was the less threatening of all the fingers of the hand. I mean, I felt more scared of Madame Gao.
Well, yeah, all the others we actually got to see fight.
And plus, Madame Gao's had
Madame
about
could,
three.
Like, push, yeah, she could push
her
cars.
She is amazing.
Yeah, she had like a what I guess was like a dumbed down version of the Iron Fist.
Well,
it
she also had three TV shows of build up for Madame Gao.
Yeah, the first time we saw her fight, she just blast Daredevil across a fucking room.
Yeah,
she was in both Daredevils.
She was in both Daredevils. She was in Iron Fist.
Yeah.
She's in a lot of Iron Fist.
But the villain
for her in Iron Fist at the end, because, well, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Iron Fist, the other guy from Kung Lao and the daughter, the friend.
Davos and the girl, yeah.
Not Colleen. The Ward's sister.
It's like Joy or something.
Oh, Joy.
Yeah. they were discussing about killing Danny Rand, and Madame Gao sitting back there just, which doesn't work for what they needed Danny Rand to do.
That is a good point.
To the Defenders.
Well,
maybe
it wasn't
recognized. These guys are really bad at whatever they try to do. So
also, you got to remember though that using Danny Rand wasn't Madame Gao's plan. It was Sigourney Weaver's plan.
Yeah, but so but if they, but they. But with the discussion between Gao and Sigourney Weaver's character and Alexandria, you know, they were going ahead with plan because this stuff was already established in Daredevil, like the second season of Daredevil, that they were digging down to wherever this place was.
Well, they didn't know they needed a key at that point.
They didn't know they needed a key, but they knew that the Iron Fist would be the key.
It is true, though, that they first mentioned finding this wall that they're going to get past in Defenders.
Yes.
So it's credible that Madame Gao would not realize that the Iron Fist was anything more than an adversary during the Iron Fist series.
But they killed everybody in Kung Lao.
Again, not knowing that that actually mattered.
Yeah. But yeah, it just, you know.
But Alexandra does compare unfavorably to the other better Netflix villains.
Right.
She's not as good as Purple Man. She's not as good as Kingpin, especially.
I don't even think she's as good as Diamondback, realistically. Because at least Diamondback was a credible threat.
Yeah, at least he could, like, punch Luke Cage and use his super bullets on him.
Right.
But, compared to, like, Purple Man.
The other members of the Hand as a unit were pretty threatening. Elektra, though, like, she was threatening enough, but I don't know what her fucking deal is. Like, what's the big deal about the Black Sky? She's just, like, a really powerful assassin? She can jump off a two-story building without breaking any sort of bones or anything, so she's reasonably tough and durable.
But she wasn't the only one that was pegged to be the Black Sky.
But that's what I'm saying is I don't get what the big deal about the Black Sky as a concept even is.
But they don't really define it in any way. They don't define what her new power set is. They don't define anything.
I don't know what the deal is here, so I don't know how scary I should
be. All we really know is that she's a little bit beefed up than what she was before, and she has kind of no memory. Yeah.
She's better than any one of the Defenders. I mean, she beats Iron Fist in a fight. She probably could have handled Daredevil.
If she wanted to.
She beats Luke Cage and Jessica Jones simultaneously, if I remember correctly. So yeah, okay, she's a credible threat, but I just couldn't help the whole time feeling like I want an explanation for why they are investing all their resources into one pretty good fighter. You know? Is she supposed to be the Hand version of Iron Fist? They needed to establish what the big deal about this Black Sky idea even was. And they never did.
Okay, so we've been criticizing it for quite a bit, but let's talk about something that worked. Like, I thought the chemistry between the cast worked really well.
The fight scenes were all really good.
It was by far the best Iron Fist fight scenes.
The Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Yeah, that was good.
It was really good.
Yeah, I like how they have a burgeoning friendship. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that in the future. It's whetted my appetite for Daredevil Season 3 because... that's the thing, is like watching it, I knew there was going to be a Daredevil Season 3 because of casting news, so you know he's not actually dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Apparently they're setting it up to be, like, born again.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's one of the most iconic storylines of all time. Yeah, it's a good way to go. I'm interested in seeing King... Pin again. He should be getting out of prison soon and wrecking everyone's shit.
Like Do you think Matt Murdock's identity is going to get revealed by the Kingpin? Do you think he's going to figure it out? And
I think he already has figured it out.
Yeah.
Because there was that scene in the prison where he beat Matt Murdock, and then he told his assistant in the prison, "We need to take a closer look at this man."
14. So yeah, I mean, Kingpin's a smart guy. He might have, having fought him both in his Matt Murdock guys and his Daredevil guys, he might have pieced it together. I don't remember too much. It wasn't much of a, he didn't put up much of a fight as Matt Murdock in the interrogation scene, but he might have reacted a little bit when Kingpin was choking.
There was something there that Kingpin recognized and wanted further look into.
So yeah, it's credible that he's pieced it together at this point.
time to go melt.
Yeah,
that was a one.
They did a good job balancing all the characters and all the supporting characters. It was a pretty big cast, all told.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. You got all the supporting characters from all the different shows.
Yep. So yeah, it wasn't great, but it was good.
It was good. It was a little slow to start, but once it got to where it was going, it was good.
Have you seen the pick for Luke Cage Season 2? Misty Knight, no, the robotic arm?
I have not seen that yet.
Oh, that's cool. Apparently she's going to get it from Danny, because he's the one paying her hospital bills.
Yeah.
Which he's the only billionaire that she knows. And so yeah, that makes sense.
The Thunder Chicken, like I can't fail the Thunder Chicken.
Oh, yeah, definitely worth a watch. Punisher comes out
sometime soon.
Yeah,
because I
have to see a trailer for that.
There is a trailer. There's a trailer on Netflix, and they released all the episode names.
You can see Jigsaw if you want.
Yeah, Jigsaw.
Which
he's like the only Punisher villain I know.
There's also Ma Gauchi, who is Gauchi, or how they say her name. She is a quadruple amputee.
Ah,
so not necessarily a super credible threat. But, she's a mob boss, like, you know, like all of Daredevil's hit Rogues Gallery is.
You mean Punisher?
What did I say, Daredevil?
He said Daredevil. Yeah,
my bad. All of Punisher's Rogues Gallery.
There it is.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Robot arm.
Wonder if it's made out of Antarctic vibranium, like the comic counterpart.
Difficult to say at this point. But I did like the interaction between Misty and Cully. And I really would like to see a Heroes for Hire with those two as the leads.
That could work pretty well. I mean, it would be cool to get some Power Man Iron Fist crossover action going, and they could put that in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Heck, maybe they should just make that Iron Fist Season 2.
But what they need to do now is now that they've established that these characters know each other, they should show up from time to time. And, I don't know about Daredevil Season 3, but like Iron Fist Season 2, Luke Cage could show up.
I mean, if they don't do that, then I think that's foolish.
Jessica Jones should show up in Luke Cage. Just say, hey, what's up?
Yep.
So Luke Cage
go get some coffee.
Yeah, coffee. What are you the god of? Coffee.
So yeah, I think the Netflix Marvelverse is in good shape.
Wasn't there like some discussion about having Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover with the Netflixverse?
I think that's a bad idea.
I mean, they are in the same universe, but
they're so tonally different, though.
For the best not to mix and match there.
And it'd be hard to do it, too, because you'd be doing a network schedule versus a binge watch scenario. Like, when do you release?
Well, I think it would just be on Netflix or something like that.
How much of that? Like what? ABC and Netflix are not on good terms right
now. Oh yeah.
Well, did you see that they actually revealed when they're pulling the plug? All of the Star Wars and all of the Disney movies are coming off Netflix in 2019.
Are they keeping the Marvel shows?
No, I don't know if they're keeping the Marvel shows, but
that's the one I really
the movies are going. I know that.
He's fine. He does a lot of damage. He's fine.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, he did absorb a lot of stuff.
Didn't Netflix get
you had to charge like everything into it.
They did get the Millerverse, or Millarverse, or whatever. But I'm honestly not too excited about that.
I would be excited for a kick-ass show if it was closer to the comic books.
No, they wouldn't have won the game. It would have been hilarious. Like. That would,
even then, I mean,
has anybody seen Death Note?
I have seen Death Note. Actually, I didn't hate it.
Well,
I thought it was a fine movie. I understand people's gripes for it.
Well, I didn't. I am not a fan of the anime, and mostly because of the main protagonist and the main antagonist, L and Light. In the anime, they're essentially. You know, like, I know that you know that I know that you know.
Well, yeah, that's the whole
but
point of the show.
In the live action one,
they don't really do that.
They made L emotional.
Yes,
L is like so detached from his emotions, but when his like handler gets taken from him, he
loses it. Yeah. So they didn't get the real characterizations of L or Light right, because Light, even Light, he's a whiny bitch.
Light is a whiny bitch, but Light is like, you know, not the guy that gets picked on.
But I did like their characterization of the girl, of Mia. I did like that a little bit. I like how she turned out to be the bad guy in the end.
Yeah, she, well, in the comic, or in the anime, she is kind of, she, there's more than one Death Note.
Well, yeah, in the anime and in the manga, there's more than one Death Note, but she doesn't really have agency of her own. She kind of just does whatever Light tells her to do.
Well, then she started first getting Kira's attention.
Right.
Because then he realized there's a second, at least another note. But one of the other things kind of irked me about the live action show was you don't have to be the possessor of the holder of the book. You just
have to write in it. Yeah.
No, you just have to propel the book to see Ryuk. And the other,
no, she hasn't seen Ryuk.
No, she didn't see Ryuk, but in the anime, Light can see Ryuk. Yeah. Light could see the other Shinigami.
Right.
L could see that. Anybody who held the book could see that. Because when they, there's like when they capture some criminal or something and they get the book, the Death Note, and Light and L holds it, and he's seeing, and he hasn't written in the book, but he's seeing Ryuk or the other Shinigami. And I forget who the other Shinigami was.
So,
but like L. Well, he gets all of the book and remembers, and he's freaking out. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
And like I said, if I didn't take him...
Yeah.
So his father, L's father in the anime... Not L's father. Light's father in the anime, which is another reason it pisses me off, is L and Light. Light's father in the anime never wrote in the book, but he could see the Shinigami.
Right.
And he could see... Or he did. He got the Shinigami eyes or something.
And he has to...
Because he could see who had life totals, and he was like, like, Light beat the system.
Right.
But
I mean, just basic.
It was just a lot of. They missed a lot of things. I do think that.
They did miss a lot of things. But also, they were condensing an entire manga and an entire anime series. Not even a 2-hour movie. That wasn't even 2 hours. That was like an hour and 40 minutes. So it was very compact. It was very condensed. They didn't really get the characterizations right, and they missed a lot of the rules, like you said, which is what makes Death Note. I mean, there's just a ton of rules for you to know and memorize and come up with. And, but William Dafoe was fantastic. I think the direction was very slick. I really enjoyed the look of the movie. I liked the soundtrack. So technically, I liked the movie, like, from a technical standpoint. But from the script and the acting, other than William Dafoe,
in a tournament you have six objectives.
But like, I'm not a fan of the source material.
Right.
The characters of Light and L.
They're pretentious.
They irk me so much.
I can easily see that.
But I'm not a fan of the live action one. But I just felt that that in comparison to the anime, the anime was so much better.
Well, it usually is. I mean, it's a lot more fleshed out. It's longer.
I rarely ever heard anyone say, "Man, I love the live action adaptation of this anime better than the anime."
Well,
yeah. I do think people had unrealistic expectations for what this movie was going to be.
Speaking of unrealistic expectations. Apparently, that's what I'm hearing. Apparently, there's a lot of hype back, not hype back, a lot of bad buzz on the Inhumans show coming out.
It's bad enough that ABC recognizes that it looks bad.
Well, it does look bad. It looks cheap.
Look at some critics say, though, it's a fucking network TV show.
Yeah, what do you expect?
Of course it looks cheap.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bad idea to try Inhumans on network TV, then.
No, the Inhumans should not have been on network TV. They should have been on an actual cable network.
Or at least a movie. If it was an MCU movie.
I don't know if they would work as a movie, though, because...
What story are you going to tell with them, though?
They've established that Inhumans are a thing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
What? Continue.
But this is
that might be the rationale for keeping it on the same network then, because it's kind of
so they can cross over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point.
But I don't know. It looks terrible. I think it looks
all
bad.
The bases I have with that. I haven't seen it yet,
but I haven't seen anything about it that makes me think, man, this is going to be a dumpster fire.
I also have basic marines and shit.
I'll give it a watch. Give it its fair shake.
I think people will watch the show for two reasons. One, because it has Ramsay Bolton from Game of Thrones on it, and then two, because people are going to go apeshit over Lockjaw.
Probably.
That's really going to be the only two reasons people are going to watch the show.
That's probably the case. I mean, I'll give it a watch, but I think that if people do watch it, they need to go in with tempered expectations.
Yeah, it's a network TV show. It's ABC. It's going to be cheap looking. It's going to have...
This should be something...
Network TV show acting.
This is the type of thing you should go in expecting something like Midnight Texas or, like, Once Upon a Time or something.
Right.
You should not be expecting this to be, like, Civil War or, like...
It's not going to be Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Well, yeah, Once Upon a Time wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, it's not bad.
It's not bad, but...
But you have the proper context for it, though. You know it's a network TV show. You know what production values are going into it.
So, yeah. Proper expectations, I think, will be key for Inhumans. Which does bring up a good point, though. What the fuck are they thinking releasing this in IMAX?
I guess they wanted to make their money back for the show, because I'm sure
to see all the work that went into this.
I'm sure all the money they made from IMAX was enough to recoup their losses for making this.
Was it a big hit? I have no idea.
I think they made like $1 million or so off of it. So.
Hey, that ain't bad. That's,
yeah.
For what they spent on those episodes, it's probably a good return on investment.
Probably. Plus ad revenue, I guess.
Who went to go see it, though? You're going to be able to see
the
it.
The diehards, man.
You don't get anything, really, from the IMAX experience.
It's not even a movie. It's just the first two episodes.
You can wait 4 weeks and watch it on your basic cable package.
Yeah, it's just the first two episodes. It's not even a TV movie.
Yeah.
Still into the cliffhanger.
It probably is a pilot.
Yeah.
Two episodes. I mean, the super fan, they don't have it. I mean, they have a big screen. They may not have an IMAX screen, though.
Yeah, but I don't get a lot from this being on the IMAX screen. I mean,
I don't want to see
an experience.
Yes, but. I feel like you should be more selective with your IMAX experience.
I just think seeing an ABC...
Avatar 3D on IMAX.
But seeing an ABC network show with cheap production values on IMAX does nothing but highlight
how
cheap it is. Yeah.
There's not a lot of razzle-dazzle to put on display.
I have not seen it. I don't know if it's good.
They could have put extra money in those first two
episodes. First off, Marvel, so they didn't.
Maybe in a few weeks I'll watch the TV show and I'll stand corrected, and man, I should have gone to see this in IMAX.
I'm
sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Not great, but fine.
I'll probably completely forget about it like I completely forget about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just like, it came... I stopped watching it mostly because I forgot that, like, in the...
I forgot it existed.
Season 3 kind of went off the rails, but Season 4 was actually really good.
That's what I hear, is that all the Ghost Rider stuff, the LNDs, were, made for good watching.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should go back and... are those on Netflix?
Yeah, they're still on Netflix.
Okay. I don't know if...
While it lasts, I guess I should go watch that.
1-3 is on.
I don't think Season 4 is on Netflix.
The Disney streaming thing isn't for a couple years yet. Yeah, so probably
but you have at least until 2019.
Because I'm still, like, waiting for...
So I'm assuming he had to drop...
No, that's not... Season 3 ain't yet.
But I still forget that show exists, even when I try to watch it on Netflix. I'll get like 10 episodes in, and then I just find something else to watch.
It's bad for me because I'm already caught up.
Right.
And so I'm like looking for other things to watch.
I'll have to give that a look, see.
But if you like, I know you guys don't watch anime a lot, but there's an anime you should probably be checking out. It's called My Hero Academia.
I've heard of it.
I've been hearing a lot about it.
That is great.
I hear that and... Hunter Hunter are kind of the hot shit right now.
Yeah, there's another anime called The Reflection, which is kind of interesting, but it's not the typical anime.
An anime I did start watching on Netflix and haven't really watched it in a few weeks now, though. Seven Deadly Sins.
No.
It's, I watched the first season of that. It was okay.
It's very tropey.
It is very tropey.
It's not that great. And then they have like two OVA episodes, which they call season two. Now, we're getting season three of Voltron next month.
But season three of Voltron, isn't that only like... It's very... Like, eight episodes or something?
I thought it was season three was, like, earlier in the summer.
Season three came out, so we're getting season four next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, season three was, like, 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
And, but it establishes Lopa. Okay. Quite a bit. And he is possibly a credible threat to Voltron. Because they apparently found out that Voltron's made from a very rare ore that can only be mined asteroid.
Vibranium.
Every show needs a credible footage. It's not a... Well, except for One Punch Man. But that's kind of the point.
But definitely check out My Hero Academia. It is really good. You will not regret it.
That name is really stupid, though. I'm just going to say that.
Well, it's the up-and-coming generation of heroes being taught by the current generation of heroes.
Fine, whatever. That's a stupid name still.
But it's like everybody in the world has a superpower.
Just grammatically, that name is silly.
The name doesn't inspire him to watch it.
I mean, you like Superhero High better?
They did. Didn't they do that with like Sky High?
Sky High, yeah.
Maybe okay. Hero Academy. That had Kurt Russell in it, though.
This guy had Kurt Russell in it. I'll watch anything with Kurt Russell.
English funny. Just bad translations.
Attack on Titan kind of has that going on. That doesn't make any goddamn sense, really. It wasn't like the Japanese name of that, like, Advancing Giant or something like that.
And that's more scary than anything.
Attack on Titan is a nonsensical title.
There's another anime called Erased, but the Japanese name is The Town Where I Do Not Exist.
It's getting into some deep shit.
But Erased, I would definitely recommend checking that out.
Dark Age Army FAQ.
Very got a very kind of Quantum Leap-y kind of vibe to it.
Does that have Scott Bakula?
No.
Well, then I'm sold. Yeah.
Damn it, man. I try.
I only watch shows with Scott Bakula.
So you're at that one. Miami now. New Orleans.
I didn't even know that show existed until a couple days ago.
Quantum League and Enterprise.
Oh, you could watch Chuck. That was a pretty good show.
Chuck is a good show. He is a
Chuck. He's got like a dirigible with an
I'm aware that Scott Bakula was in Chuck.
It is one of those. He was Chuck's dad.
Really?
Well, okay. The show did kind of get to the point where it should have ended a little bit earlier than it did. But one thing that the biggest thing that I think is silly about the show is like every fucking member of Chuck's family is a goddamn spy.
Yeah.
They all of them have some secret cryptic backstory except for his sister, unless I missed that episode.
I know you did.
Didn't they make like Chevy Chase?
Chevy Chase is a bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
which is probably the most realistic thing in that show. Unfortunately. Oh, what an old curmudgeon.
They brought in a lot of pop culture shout-outs in that show. They had Robert Englund be like, his villainous trait was that he like took you into a nightmare world with like gas or whatever. But let's see, what else did the show have?
So he bought really like
his mom. Who played his mom again?
I forgot.
And it was somebody famous. Didn't they have the actress spawn? Who played Miranda Lawson from Mass Effect?
Yes,
She was Sarah, his main love interest.
A bunch of non Formagons, and they would just infinitely respond. You lose some, they come back.
It also had Adam Baldwin.
They collapse a whole unit.
That is what it is.
Also love me some Adam Baldwin. Watch anything with him in it. Especially the shit. Especially those sci-fi original movies. Where, like,
the one where he like tries to get some french fries from a guy so he can repair his body.
Right.
I don't even know what the name of that one is.
You don't need to know the name. You just need to know Adam Baldwin's in it.
What more do you
need? The flavor for it's custom-made.
Chuck was some good shit, though. I miss that shit. I mean, I'm glad it's not still on, because it would have gotten really stale by now, but I need to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, so...
What else we got?
When is the new set for Magic the Gathering? Exilion. Exilion. How do you pronounce it?
Exilion.
When is it coming out?
What the pronunciations?
We're not the best.
Exilion.
Do you have a phonetic spelling of it?
So, it's spelled IX.
We need to get like a dry erase board here so that we can like break down the syllables.
It comes out at the end of the month.
I am actually really excited about this because it's dinosaurs and pirates. It's got like a Mesoamerican theme to it.
Now, you said it has pirates and dinosaurs. It doesn't have pirate dinosaurs. Yes, that's awesome. I don't even play that together. I'm excited about this.
Pirates crewing dinosaurs. Are dinosaurs pirate pirates?
So it has dinosaur pirates and pirate dinosaurs.
And pirate ships.
Are some of the pirate ships just very large dinosaurs?
I don't know.
I don't know. They do have a character that goes around riding on dinosaurs.
That spits out dinosaurs.
Yeah. It's hard. It's the power dino riders.
You know, I don't think there's such a thing as too many dinosaurs, but they might be pushing it.
And we'll get shiny dinosaur tokens for FNL.
Men and women just herd it out, giving flag jackets. Right. Flag jackets. Yep.
I'm actually really excited about that because like, pirate tribes get love. They get like, I know at least two legendary pirates.
I'm not sure what all the spoilers the other spoilers they have out. This was actually an interesting one. Because of spoilers, they had a
like 30 or 40
former employee of a printer allegedly liberate several sheets of Magic the Gathering cards and allegedly post pictures of them. He is confirmed to be arrested and in jail.
That's
awaiting trial. And they went ahead and there were blurry photos out there and they spoiled. But most of the rares got spoiled, in a month or so.
They also have like this set also has like the return of vehicles and it has transforming cards.
Does it have transforming vehicles?
Yes.
Is Optimus Prime a car?
No. Actually, he will be, but no. Not in this set.
Hascon has a set of magic cards exclusive to their convention.
Isn't it like a joke set that has...
Well, they will be joke cards.
I'm assuming they won't be turned
I know Grimlock's a card.
Grimlock.
There's the sword of...
Which is a dinosaur, by the way, so now it's a dinosaur transforming.
There will be a sword of Dungeons & Dragons, which will be in the... upcoming joke set Unstable, but the other cards will not. There's also a Nerf equipment gun or something.
I don't remember what.
And then you also get a Grimlock is a flip card,
right? So you can transform.
And then you also get a gold dragon token. The gold dragon art from the D&D.
But one of the cards that I saw today that was spoiled out was a card that is an enchantment, and then it becomes essentially a Gaia's Cradle. So that's pretty awesome right there. But Gaia's Cradle will give you green mana for every creature you control.
Those levels look awfully low, speaking of.
They probably are.
Have we been wasting our time? Did we screw this up?
I don't know how far back it went, but they were looking normal at one point. Our lone listener is on the podcast, so.
They look normal there.
Yeah. And there's just... part of where it looked kind of low there, but I don't know. That's whatever. Content like, quality control.
It's not like anybody listens to this anyway.
I listen.
You don't count as a person.
I'm the lone listener on the podcast.
I just enjoy coming here and talking about stuff, to be honest.
So, there's off, you know, Arma hitting, and there's a chance that it will be followed by Jose in a week.
I've been hearing that Jose is mostly going to miss landfall.
Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, behind Jose is some other schmuck.
That one's hitting Mexico right now.
Well, and, you know, that's crazy, but...
I mean, and this is only a couple of weeks after Harvey, of course.
Right. This will be the first time we've had two Category 4 or higher hit mainland. Assuming it's still a Category 4 when Irma hits.
Katya. Katya is the name of the storm that's going at Mexico.
Thank you, intrepid reporter David.
I did hear that apparently Irma was, I think, 11 confirmed deaths in the Caribbean so far.
Yeah, one of them was in
it did hit Puerto
Barbados
Rico really hard.
Or something.
Right.
In Antigua?
Yeah. Well, on the island of Barbados.
Was this demon great hammer?
Because Barbados, you know, it was Category 5, but it didn't actually, it just passed close to it, but it apparently it leveled the island.
D6 or 1?
Yeah.
So, with the hammer,
but,
times.
Yeah, one thing I have noticed a lot with Harvey, there's been a lot of people trying to find, you know, at least in the retailer circuits, you know, a lot of comic book creators and stuff have been trying to put together packages to comic book store owners that may have lost their stores out in Harvey, you know, in the Houston area or whatever.
So is it already over?
Yeah. And that was always nice. It was nice to see people reach out and try to help their fellow man, you know.
But he hasn't taken it yet.
So I'm sure we will survive.
But they can move closer.
You know, the crazy thing about Irma, if it moves fast enough, we could actually have a hurricane cross the border here in Tennessee.
That's happened before.
Are they still not able?
I know it happened back in the night. I forget which hurricane it was, but...
Yeah. It would have probably been Andrew.
Well, that was short for him.
It's pretty crazy because we're pretty far inland.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
We're basically in the middle. You know.
But that also depends on the track it chooses.
Yeah.
It could come this way. It could go this east. This is the Thunder Hammer. The way they got it projected. There's like 5 different projections for it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's all about, if this or this happens, here's this probability, this is this probability, you know. If the fly flaps its left wing, this could happen. If the fly flaps its right wing, this could happen.
Now we're going all butterfly effect on it.
On happier news, I'll be going to Wizard World this week.
So will I.
Cool. Oh, man.
Now, will you be going as an attendee or a vendor?
Just an attendee.
You're going to go see Stan Lee?
I hadn't planned on it.
We were talking earlier. This might be your last chance to see
Stan Lee. I think Stan Lee's like the VIP.
Yeah.
I think like the whole meet and greet is VIP. But I don't know if he's going to have like any panels that he's going to speak at.
Are there going to be any interesting panels? Do we know what the panels are for?
I know we had somebody come by from Geek Girls doing brunch said they were doing a panel.
Are they going to serve brunch?
I don't know.
I mean, that's what the name implies.
I would feel lied to if I showed up and there weren't, like, waffles.
Apparently, like, they arrange brunches at various places. And of course, I'm not saying that you have to be a comic book fan to be a geek, but this person clearly was unfamiliar with comics. Their fandom rested somewhere else.
Will there be alcohol at these brunches?
Well, I mean, there's lots of geek rooms.
Right, exactly.
You
so,
can have Star Wars or Star Trek or Doctor Who or whatever, and
right.
have read a comic in your life. Yeah, that's fine.
So,
in order to not be charged by things that can't
have to be
airborne.
Okay. Yeah, but they came by and asked us to put up a poster or anything.
It's like trying to translate to my brain and understand.
I don't know. I thought about taking the Dr. Doom up there and get
Stan
on it.
So
that would be... That is a brilliant idea. It might That would probably let it retake the top price spot.
Yeah.
But he can move third.
There's no list of what panels there are. There's only listings of when the celebrity guests are doing what.
Right.
No necessarily list of panels.
Okay.
I'm thinking I might, because I'm going Friday and I'm going Saturday, and I'm thinking I might try to get Brian O'Halloran to.
They're getting
O'Halloran.
Where's that phonetic spelling again?
Brian O'Halloran. I'm thinking about trying to get him to.
We seriously need a driver.
My DVD copy.
What have we been doing this whole time? Read the driver race book.
Jason Mewes is there. Steve Bloom. Which
The voice actor of everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop.
Right.
Wolverine. Wolverine various times. He was Grunt in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any military guy you talk to in any video game.
Pretty much.
Wipe the chicken out.
It'd be interesting. Like, I would be shocked if I ever met someone who's watched a lot of movies or games or played video games who hasn't, knowingly or not, heard Steve Bloom's voice at some point.
That was the original when he got.
So, does he do more, have more voice credits than Robert Paulson?
No. Robert Paulson had stuff going back to, like, you know, Risky Business.
Yeah.
Robert
if
Paulson,
you look up his IMDb page, you got a while to get
Robert Paulson has been in the business for like 30 to 40 years. I mean, I think Frank Welker might outdo Robert Paulson.
Frank Welker. That's another good one. Yeah.
There's also Tara Strong does a whole fuck ton of stuff. Great. Is it Cecilia? I forget her last name. The one who was Azula.
Great.
Hey,
D. Ellis.
She, I think I got married recently, so I think her last name might be different now.
Yep,
but anyway, yeah, she does a whole fuckload of stuff.
I think between the two of them, Tara Strong would be the more prolific.
Oh, by far, but yeah.
Tara Strong, she was Batgirl in the animated series. Then she was Harley Quinn in the video games.
Right.
Didn't she do, like, non-voice acting?
Yes.
Legitimate acting. I don't want to say legitimate acting.
I know. I don't know.
Voice acting isn't acting.
I don't know. I don't know. Many on screen.
Wasn't she in, like, American Pie?
That's Tara Reid.
Tara Reid.
Okay. Your Tara's confused.
No, but
I feel pretty insulted about Tara Strong.
What are you talking about? Tara Reid has been anchoring down that Sharknado series for the last.
Hey, you know,
okay.
Apparently that
like
makes plenty of money.
It does, apparently.
I think that Tara Reid is self-aware enough to know that these are shit movies with
I think
purposefully
everyone,
shit actors.
well, you know.
They've done the riff tracks for Sharknado. They did the joke where, like, the first time you see Tara on screen, it's her answering a phone. And they dubbed over, "Is this my agent? I'll take it, whatever it is."
I know Tara Strong has done some commercial, like TV commercial work. Some, I know there's one where she like does like a dentist. The patient at a dentist office. I know that.
It's beautiful.
Well, yeah, and you can't really argue with her just being willing to take anything she did Alone in the Dark. So,
yeah.
That's what I keep.
She did Alone in the Dark. She did the Sharknado movies. She literally is not above doing really, really shit.
But you gotta embrace it. Look at
I fucking love the Sharknado movies, especially because they're so shit.
I mean,
they're the best.
Adam Campbell or whatever, you know, he's made his living doing bad movies.
Yeah, I mean, I can't knock it. I don't begrudge actors making a career doing bad movies. I do begrudge directors making careers doing bad movies, like Uwe Ball.
Well, you know,
but see, he doesn't know he's making bad movies.
I think
though.
He does.
He thinks he's making art.
He makes bank on those things.
Yeah, the way they actually, the German government funds it,
right,
to a degree. So it's only you got to make so much,
right?
Yeah, and it's profitable, and he can keep doing it and paying everybody, and they make plenty of money because they have very little budget. The budget being covered by the
government.
But that being said, Rampage was actually a really good movie.
I don't know about really good, but
well,
as far as his movies go. It's his magnum opus.
It cleared that bar. Impossible.
Well, you got to think a movie it about managed to get out
Blood Rage
about
and Alone in the Dark.
About a game that had no plot. You know, I mean, it is good in the way it's essentially explosion porn. But
we're talking the movie where the monsters destroy the city, right?
No.
The game where the monsters destroy the city.
No.
Okay.
That movie's coming out later with The Rock in it.
Yeah. What are you talking about, like River City Rampage or something?
River City Rampage?
Whatever. Fuck it, that's right. Damn it. My bad.
There's been a lot of video games with Rampage in the title.
Oh,
no, but it's basically about a guy that goes
postal. This guy's going
to it's Postal the Movie.
Okay. No, Postal the Movie was a different movie called Postal.
Okay.
But, you know, essentially, kid, you know, he builds.
I was afraid of the nerve. I was like, his head gonna explode.
More or less, an Iron Man like suit, robs a bank, blows up a bunch of stuff, and does this, goes on a huge crime spree.
So Star Kid goes bad.
Okay, that's right.
Something like that. It's actually, if you enjoyed Shoot 'em Up, it's like a dramatic Shoot 'em Up.
I did like Shoot 'em Up. I cannot conceive.
He is selling this movie wrong to you, sir.
I cannot conceive of a situation in which I would like to have a movie as much as
Shoot 'em Up is like a fun, it's like a fantasy gun movie. This is like a down and dirty, make you feel bad about watching this movie. It is.
Well, why would you do that to me, Larry?
It's okay, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's a very gritty explosions and gunfights and everything like that. Yeah. It actually has a theoretically plausible plot, a chain of events or whatever. Yeah. It is the exact opposite of every other Uwe Boll movie.
I have taken all the lessons that I have learned from my other movies, and I have made these.
It's like somebody told me everything you've done, do the opposite.
Don't worry about
it.
The sequels are still shit. Have you seen Rampage 2 and 3?
No.
They're shit. Don't even bother.
And the sad thing is, I really did like the plot of Blood Rain. The movie Blood Rain, not the movie.
I really love the plot.
Sexy
Vampire. Oh, it's a great plot.
The video game Blood Rain.
Sexy Vampire.
Depth series. And, you know, and
now you're talking about the movie. What the hell are you talking about?
No, but if they would have used the plot of the video game, it would have been a better movie.
One of the best episodes of Nostalgia Critic was the one where they're talking about Blood Rain. I like how they just like go to town on the fact that the big romantic moment in the movie had our two romantic characters have like 40 seconds of screen time before they start fucking in a prison. That's all the establishment we got. Hey, both our parents are dead. Vampires suck. Let's bone. That was the big romantic subplot.
Here's my tits.
Pretty much.
Well, they had to put those in there to sell the movie.
You gotta have some tits in there somewhere.
Whatever.
You're not making a proper R-rated low-budget movie without them.
No.
Well, I think it might be time to wrap.
Yeah.
On that note.
Yeah.
He did make a bunch of bad movies.
He has never made a good one. But I haven't seen this Rampage movie.
Watch Rampage. Okay. Yeah, it's like, that's the one, the
didn't
one good
make,
one.
Like, in the Name of the King or anything?
Yes,
probably. I think it would have been like Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds? Is that true?
I don't know. I
no idea.
Surely he
I know there's one with Jason
Statham. The Transporter
Statham.
And Smokey and the Bandit in the same movie. Burt Reynolds needs to show up in like Fast and Furious 9.
Yeah, Smokey and the Transporter.
That hasn't Burt Reynolds been in a Fast and Furious
movie? Him and Jerry Jerry Conway? Or Jerry
I've got to get on that.
He's found a guy.
Opened up the bag. Wow. He doesn't have to have a big role or anything. He can just show up and be
he
like,
just shows up and
show up and be like, I'm Burt Reynolds, and then leave.
Shows up in the black Trans Am, does the Burt Reynolds laugh.
Right.
Like, you know, no, I didn't like it either.
I got Jason Statham and Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. Well, there's multiple Name of the Kings. There's
Ray
one,
Liotta.
There's one starring Dolph Lundgren, I think.
What a diverse cast.
Well, this is the sequel. There's like three sequels to it. I don't know if you Ball is involved.
Burt Reynolds is in it.
Is he?
He is King
Ray Liotta. Red.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta and Burt Reynolds.
And it's directed by Uwe Ball.
Yeah.
How the fuck did that happen?
What a world. Wow. I don't remember much about that movie, but I did remember that it sucked.
Yeah. So, you don't even remember Burt Reynolds?
I don't. I don't.
I guess it just wasn't that good to be the king.
Next time, face great eyes, do not bring demons.
Wow.
Not a good idea.
When did that movie come out?
2007.
Yeah, so it's been a good decade since I've seen that movie.
No, that was just
man.
He
so
is,
speaking of Ron Perlman, apparently they have moved on with the Hellboy movies. They're not waiting for Guillermo del Toro.
Well, they're doing a reboot.
Well, yeah, they're doing. Well, I guess not a Hellboy, but BPRD. I guess.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, that was a big thing. The dude who was the bad guy in Deadpool, whose name I forget.
Francis.
Yeah, well, I know the character's name. I don't remember the actor's name. Huh? It's hard to forget the character's name from the villain in Deadpool. But, I mean, he spells it out with dead bodies for fuck's sake. That's probably right.
That is it.
Okay, thank you. So Ed Skeeran was cast to play a Asian-American character who I don't know from the comics because I don't read BPRD, but apparently he did back out over the whitewashing concerns. So, good on him.
I guess.
Well, I mean, make room for an Asian actor to get a role.
The guy who played
it's hard enough.
Makuto, or what? Not the one guy from Defenders, not Makuto.
What?
The Japanese guy that like skinned the bear.
I don't remember.
Oh, what
name,
about that guy?
He should be the character.
He's kind of old.
I don't know anything about the character, so.
Is the character that old? Because that guy was middle aged.
I don't know. I'd have to. I'm trying to think which character it would be.
Fuck it, man. I don't know. Let's do final thoughts. I wish I could go to Wizard World this weekend because I really would like to meet Stan Lee, and this is probably the only chance in my life I'm ever going to have to do it at this point. But I'm working.
So. Well, for a mere $300, you can get him to sign something.
Worth it for you.
Okay, yeah, needed Stan Lee to sign a comic that was the first appearance of Doctor Doom. 300 is a pittance compared to how much that value
that will make the comic book.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, you should definitely do that.
Wouldn't signing a comic book even depreciate the value more?
Depending on the grade.
Get him to sign the case.
That's not slabbed. I mean, and there's a chunk of the cover missing.
Yeah.
So. A signature on that is not going to depreciate the value at that point.
Okay.
If it was an 8 or a 9, yes, the signature would depreciate the
value. It might actually cause it to go up.
That actually, yes, would. Because, I mean, pretty much Stanley signing anything jumps the price up $300.
Excelsior!
Whether he had anything... the newest issue of Batman signed by Stan Lee would go for $300.
Well, then I guess I'm taking it back.
I mean, I wonder how Stan Lee would react if you handed him, like... You
know, I made this character!
Not even, like, a prolific issue of Batman, just a random fucking one.
Excelsior!
I mean, if you brought him, like, Detective Comics number 27, you know, Bob Kane is not alive, and neither is Bill Finger, so, you know, who better to get the signing on
it? But Stan Lee, Stan Lee did hang out with Bob Kane.
So, yeah, that's as close as you're gonna get.
So we're playing, like, 8 degrees of Stan Lee or something like that.
Well, in the comic industry, I mean, I'm pretty sure every noteworthy writer has at least, you know, been at a con with Stan Lee at this point or something. So probably not that many degrees of separation there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yes. Oh, well, Stan Lee's only $120.
Well, there you go.
He's only on Saturday.
Sunday.
Oh, is it
only
Sunday?
Only Sunday. Ooh.
And you were willing to pay $300.
Well, look at
well,
that.
Well, last time I looked, it
somebody
was...
Somebody needs to contact Stan Lee. He needs to up his price because people are willing to pay.
Well, now he's lowered his price. Last time it was like $300.
Considerably higher. So I take it you're going to go on Sunday then. So we probably won't see each other.
Well, I don't know. I'll be working all day Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow afternoon, and then I'm going to go, hopefully, most of all Saturday.
I hope you guys have a great time.
Which, my final thought is, yes, I'm going to the Wizard World Comic Con here in Nashville, but I'm more excited by the fact that I'm finally going to get to use the backpack I got for Christmas for the intended purpose that I got it for.
Did it something other than as a backpack?
No, this particular backpack is like a day hype pack with like an internal frame and the hip straps.
Okay.
With pockets.
So going hiking.
So like a trail backpack.
So yeah, like a trail backpack so I can walk around all day and have the weight carried on my hips. And so it won't be as bad on my back as my big bulky backpack that I usually would bring to the comic shop here.
Where are you going out to?
to the convention.
Oh.
I might have
okay, so maybe not exactly.
If there's like a press junket or something,
I might... my tent.
Well, I intended to, like, you know, carry a, like, either... Maybe I might carry my laptop computer and a mic so I can record stuff. And, you know, that way the weight's distributed. Okay. And if I have to walk around for, like, several hours, it's not going to be agitating.
I mean, that's
agitating.
True. I mean, any time where you're walking around, no matter where you are, it's good to have a... back-friendly backpack.
Yeah. But being that, you know, I do go to several conventions and I do carry gear with me, this is the intended purpose of this backpack was to carry the gear with me.
Okay.
So
maybe not the manufacturer's intention, but...
Well, no, it's the manufacturer's intention. It's a hiking backpack. It's not like it's a big frame to it, but it's got an internal frame. And it's got
All I'm saying is that the manufacturer probably pictured this being used out on a trail somewhere.
Yes.
So,
but it's
that's all
used,
I'm saying.
It's being used at a convention site.
Okay.
But it's being used with the same
thing. Let's just move on.
Okay.
The semantics of backpacks.
We're going do-si-do here.
Yeah, apparently Saturday he's only doing VIP autographs.
Those are the $300 autographs.
The VIP photo ops and autographs. And he's only doing that for an hour.
I wonder where he goes Excelsior to every single person.
I appreciate this.
Maybe he throws a face front true believer every now and then.
He's scheduled for a Q&A at 11 a.m. on Sunday. All right. So.
It'll be okay.
I'll be fine.
I'll live.
But yeah, so
I was hoping that there would be a press junket. I haven't gotten any confirmation on any kind of press junket.
Well, I will not be going to Wizard World this weekend because I am a cheap bastard.
Thomas Ian Nicole live performance Saturday at 12:30.
Plus, it's Wizard World.
Thomas Ian Nicole.
or what was the last name?
Thomas yeah. Ian Nicole.
Nicole.
Like Nicole, like the first name Nicole?
Nicole. No, not quite, but, isn't he like one of the guys from Buffy or something, or?
I don't know.
No one knows.
Val Kilmer. We can go see Batman, guys.
That is
Group
true.
Firefly photo ops.
Which there's like three actors from Firefly there,
yeah. Right?
But Alan Tudyk's gonna be
K2SO man.
Yeah.
I heard he dropped out.
Oh, did he?
What? Yeah, something. Scheduling conflicts. Well,
one of the only reasons I would go to that con just dropped out.
Don't be a dick, Adam.
Thomas dick, Ian Nicholas. Rookie of the Year. He was the kid of Rookie of the Year. From the Disney movies. He's like a Disney movie actor. Okay. And he was in American Pie. He was Kevin in American Pie.
Rookie of the Year, the movie where the kid joins like the major league team.
That's, yeah.
Because he has something wrong with like the tendons in his arms.
Yeah,
positive.
Yeah, this causes like
which,
a...
The movie... Rookie of the Year was directed by Daniel Stern, which was one of the two Wet Bandits from Omaha.
Yeah.
Wow. Lots of fun movie minutiae.
Oh my god.
I'm still flabbergasted over Burt Reynolds being a fucking Uwe Boll movie.
Apparently that one had money.
Evidently, yeah. It had quite a high...
Really? Do you think Burt Reynolds is demanding big bucks nowadays?
Compared to the people in most of the Uwe Boll movies? Yes.
More than Terry.
Ray Liotta, Jason Statham, and Burt Reynolds in it. And
Ray Liotta?
Ray Liotta.
Yeah, I feel like how much they normally demand gets spent on their trailers is more than Uwe Boll spends on his entire
movie. I remember that movie actually had a theatrical release, which most of his movies do not.
Yeah. That one, they didn't advertise that he was doing that.
That's probably why it was so good. That's why the box office returned. You thought they didn't mean gamers?
They do.
It's like an old meme where it had Uwe Boll go like that. You thought they didn't spin.
God damn it, David.
I have missed you guys.
So yeah, what brings you here?
Well, I've taken tonight off and to kind of prep for the Comic-Con, just make sure I got all my stuff taken care of, and get my Friday chores kind of out of the way on Thursday.
Fill up your backpack.
Fill up my backpack.
It's like getting ready for the first day of school.
Yes. There'll be a picture of me getting off the Metro bus.
Are you gonna like?
You're gonna have a tear in your eye,
like your lunchbox. And...
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna bring like a
get your Trapper Keeper all organized.
I got my Lisa Frank stickers all ready to go.
Now,
I'm gonna bring my Spider-Man lunchbox for Stan Lee to sign.
Saint River City Rampage earlier was a bad mistake on my part. It wasn't as bad as the one time I confused Lisa Frank with Anne Frank.
That's the worst.
I think that's a political mistake.
That was pretty bad.
You're banned from any elected office now.
Probably.
Because that is documented.
Oh, I fucked that up years ago. I mean, there's lots of recordings on the internet of me just going on cussing tyrants. I mean, that one time where I reacted to Captain America being, like, retroactively always made a Nazi.
Yeah.
That probably did it right there, nothing else.
Well, you know, at least in that tirade, you came off deliberately anti-Nazi.
Well, apparently, it doesn't matter how anti-Nazi you are.
Apparently, that's a brave stance to take. Firmly anti-Nazi. What a world.
The world we live in.
Well, did you have any final thoughts?
My final thought was I was excited about my backpack.
Yeah.
Did you have any final thoughts?
It was about him not going to Wizard World. Pay attention.
I'm not going to Wizard World because I'm a cheap bastard. Actually started playing D&D again.
Oh, fun,
started
dude.
Playing 5th edition. I've never played 5th edition before.
What class are you?
Right now I'm a fighter.
Fighters are pretty buff in 5th edition.
Apparently.
You get second wind.
I get
and
second
you're
wind
the
all
only one
so,
who gets multiple attacks.
I've been enjoying it so far.
still pretty low level, so just started playing. Well, but I've definitely enjoyed playing 5th edition more than I've enjoyed playing 4th edition. So it's definitely an improvement on that.
5th edition does a good job. They make it where low level characters aren't just like always one bad roll away from death.
Well, I also, before this, recently, I played a couple games of 2nd edition. And
you masochist.
Yeah.
I know.
You have stubbed your toe, characters. And you are dead.
You are dead.
I mean, in 2nd edition, like, you can, like, wake up at the wrong time of day, and that will get you killed.
But it's okay, though, because you have, like, 3 characters you're playing at the same time.
You should be, unless you want
to. Which, I always find that hard to do, because if you're trying to roleplay 3 different characters, it's really hard to roleplay it where it's not just one.
Actually, be in character.
It's really hard to roleplay it where it's not just one with 2 servants. Because if you play it, actually roleplay it with people with different ideas, then you end up arguing with yourself at a table. And that's
out
just
loud.
Weird. That's weird even by D&D standards.
Yeah, I mean,
what is wrong with that guy?
Most anything goes in D&D for the most part, but that's pretty unusual.
Yeah.
But
so I do like being the one character again, so
that's fine.
Well,
I'm glad you're back on the horse.
Yeah.
I had a Vampire the Masquerade, crazy vampire that changed characters randomly. It was fun.
Yeah.
But I had a list of characters he would become. You know, and they were all, they all thought they were some fictional character. Yeah.
Sounds like a fun.
It can be fun being a crazy character sometimes. I once played an alchemist who just, he was essentially the Bolshevik Muppet from The Muppet Show.
That's awesome.
Blew shit out of everywhere he went.
Well, come find us at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son with of Manny.
With shiny new floors.
I do like this partially.
Or part of a shiny new floor. More coming soon.
It's going to be autographed copy of the first
Doctor like
Doom.
I do like your shiny new floors.
I do like the floors. I do like it.
Now, our find us online at ComicCity2.com, Facebook.com/ComicCity2, or check out some of our wonderful sister podcasts or this podcast on iTunes or OutrightGeekery.com. Are y'all still doing Geeks of, not Geeks of Destruction, but
Instruments
of
Destruction?
Destruction,
we are. I don't know if we're doing it this week because IDW is really bad at releasing shit. So if we do one this week, we'll be doing like 2 books. So it might not be worth your time.
You could always come and sit in on the.
That's some thrilling, captivating endorsement. Yes, might not be worth your time.
That's letting you know. 2 issues is not up to the exacting standards of Instruments of Destruction.
Yeah, I'm telling IDW, get your shit together.
Gomer's
you have like 7 books that you're releasing a month. You can release at least 1 every week, you know.
Or two
even. I know.
Whoa!
And
there.
You have an event going on. It's supposed to come out every 2 weeks, but it's been 3, so where's my next issue?
God damn it, IDW.
I know.
So sure.
they're pulling Marvel shit. They're revealing plot twists for books before the actually happens in the book that they're revealing the plot twist for.
I do hate that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But yeah.
Then there's also This Geek in Comics and thirty others. I don't know.
Oh, we got.
There's the one that all the explosion thing. I honestly can't remember all the words in that title.
It's the Super Happy Fun Time Explosion Show, which is a Patreon exclusive show.
Got to pay some monies for that one.
Yeah. Which you
see, and I really don't like that title because there's a TV show called The Super Happy Fun Time Drugs and on or. High and on drunken on drugs.
Gomer probably
hour or something.
Gomer probably stole the name from that show.
No, Gomer is totally the type of person who would totally blatantly earn things like that.
But the explosion show is where you can hear us cuss Gomer out.
I think you can hear that on most of the podcasts.
Well, this is the one we do where he's present when we do it.
Well, you know, if he has good graces to show up,
you can also hear us try to guess our way through the terrible, terrible list that he finds.
I hate those lists. I just don't like the format he does it, because I think instead of just going, you know, whoever says first and you next, and you next, it should be...
You're just mad because you totally fucked it up the last time.
I won the last two, and I...
Yeah,
yes,
but like you...
I fucked it up and still won. I gave you each an answer and still won.
Like we weren't going to say fucking Kit Kat on our own. Thanks for bringing that obscure candy bar to us.
Oh, yeah. Give him a break, why don't you?
But
that's the best we could possibly
Okay, when you listen to Radio Morning Radio,